This is Hades Ham Journal number 2. Hades Ham Journal is the diary of an ex-defense techno-yuppie fallen on interesting times. Broke and evicted, she ends up in a clandestine warehouse tribe of artists, mystics, activists, and other edge dwellers called the Home for Aging Mutants, Ham for short. This episode is called Still Life with Peckerwood. This thing? You want to know what this thing is? It's a still, or it will be when I'm done. There are these stores where they throw out corn and all kinds of produce stuff, so when I get this built, we're going to experiment. You start with almost anything organic, and you get a way to get loaded. Besides, if I don't keep busy, I'll probably go nuts. They don't keep real nuts in here, not the totally incoherent kind. But I can't help it. It's tough living with a change like this. From defense techno-yuppie to street person. In one swell foop. Oh, I don't exactly wish I was back there at Rock Hard Munitions, Inc. I could tell you all about what they did. How they faked that drug test and planted that stuff in my desk. That whole clearance trial farce. All because of what I knew about those submarines, probably. They were afraid I wouldn't keep my mouth shut. They were probably right, but no, it's still just too close to the bone. Maybe later. So I used to build nuclear bombs, and now I'm designing a still out of what these artists around here call found objects. That's junk in plain English. Nevertheless, it feels like an improvement. Biff and Athena, the third generation edge dwellers, like the idea. They said the fire would come in handy for warmth on a cold night. I thought Declan would flip over it, but yeah, he's kind of a snob. I'll show him. I'll make something that tastes decent, too. Declan O'Malley's our resident drunken writer. I haven't seen his writing yet, but I've seen him drink a lot. If he writes even half as well as he drinks, he'll probably be one of the great drunken writers of our century, right up there with Charles Bukowski. He has sort of an anti-loft here in the warehouse. He ripped a big hole in the floorboards. Well, hold on, maybe one of Skip and Scotty's metallic creations ripped the hole, I'm not sure. Anyway, there's this place where the floorboards are gone, and he lives about 4 feet down in there. His furniture is made up of crates, piles of books, and laundry. Between these three media, he manages to have a desk and a chair and a bed, sort of. He doesn't need storage because his possessions are his furniture. A highly sensible solution, it would seem. Yet, when I tried similar experiments at home in my youth, it precipitated an awful lot of parental screaming and loss of personal freedom. I guess there are some nice things about being a grown-up after all. No curfew, for one thing. We stayed up most of the other night drinking some strange kind of whiskey you can't get around here and trying to remember all the lyrics to Tangled Up in Blue. And the more we drank, the more tangled up we sort of got. That's just as well. We don't have to work in the morning. We'd have been late as hell. So, Declan lives in his pit most of the time, talking to his typewriter and sometimes sticking his head out to yell at the kids or make some really corrosive comment. Like the time I met Lars. Yeah, like then. I had just finished sweeping out the upper deck. It's amazing how these damn metal filings will fly all the way up there, and was clambering down those rickety metal mesh stairs when Lars came strolling in. I looked at him, and something sort of gave way inside my head, and I ripped half the banister a good piece out of the wall. And I had to hunt for bolts on the floor and screw them back the hell in all afternoon. Hey, at least Lars didn't really notice. Oh, but Declan did. He always acts like he isn't paying attention, but he sees everything. And he stuck his head up and said, "Uh-oh, she's got a thing for vacuous postpubescent albinos." Lars didn't notice that either. Lars doesn't seem to notice a whole lot somehow. Oh, he says he's 18, but nobody believes him. He hitchhiked out here from Humpalumpa, Minnesota, to become a photographic chronicler of urban decadence. I guess the closest they get to urban decadence back in Humpalumpa, Minnesota, is a couple of folks who drive foreign cars, drink wine instead of beer, and only sweep their front stoops once a month. But you gotta give him credit, he ended up in the right place. We got decadence, boy do we. So what's with me anyway? I have a PhD for crying out loud. What do I want with some vacuous post-pubescent albino? Well, from where I am now, that diploma and $2 will get me a tablespoon of espresso. You take your fun just like everything else, where you can find it. And anyway, he's not really an albino. Aren't their eyes supposed to be red or something? And he's not vacuous. Well, it's not that vacuous. When I had my security clearance, we were only allowed to socialize with other people who had them. I could not seem to get the least bit excited about any of them. Okay, once. Daryl from Ignited Combustibles. And he was so sensitive to stress that he just couldn't cope with the bone-crushing responsibility of a second date. And I remember how I, my brain, would have those long conversations with those other parts of my body. I'd say, hey, why are you so stuck up? This guy is perfectly reasonable. There's nothing really wrong with him. And he likes us. He'd treat us really well. But you're positively cryogenic. There's just no reasoning with you at all. That seems to be a given. It doesn't respond to reason. It responds to some kid with a huge telescopic lens who comes along and disconnects the brain entirely. It's draining too much of the power anyway. I hope Declan's not too disgusted with me. Specifically, I hope he didn't get so disgusted that he finished all the whiskey. After bending this darn copper tubing around all afternoon, I could sure use some. As to whether I ever get to take our young photographer into a dark room and see what develops, only time will tell. Though if I get this still built before next week, we may all be so blasted you may have to remind me what I was talking about. Next time, crashing Daryl's party. We'll be there, unless they find out.